Today we're talking about something that touches every family, something that's a key part of childhood, but that can strike fear into parents. But yet it's the first step towards creating many lasting, lifelong memories. And we've all got to do one sometime. I'm your host, John O'Reill, and today on Parent Savers, we're talking about road trips with your kids.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome once again, everybody, to Parent Savers, your online, on-the-go support group for parents with infants and toddlers. And we are super online. We used to record in studios, but now we are totally online. You can join us. We've got a listener joining us today. And you've got me, of course, your host, John O'Reill, along with Sonny, our producer. Hi, Sonny.
Hi. We're super online now. Like, we were just dabbling in the online field before, but now we are all in.
We are super online. So thank you for listening with us through this transition, and we're excited for this new era of New Mommy Media. And especially thanks to those of you who continue the conversations with us on social media, Facebook and Twitter. You guys help make the show great, and thanks for listening and participating. And as you know, we have an app, Parent Savers app, where you can listen to all the episodes wherever you go, and you can also listen to podcasts however you get them. It's on iTunes and all sorts of other places. And so, Sonny, why don't you tell them even more, our super parents, listeners, about how they can get involved with the show.
Okay. So, John mentioned our Parent Savers app, and we are very app friendly on this show. We love apps, and we, you know, as you guys know, we talk about apps on the show, and we're actually going to do that in a little bit. I also want to tag on to that, that in addition to our Parent Savers app, we have a network app for New Mommy Media. What's really cool about this is that it contains all of the shows that we produce for New Mommy Media, and we're starting to do some really cool things with New Mommy Media. We have what I call our homegrown shows. Parent Savers is one of those shows that we started from scratch, but we're also starting to add other shows into the mix to create more of a network of shows, again, that are aimed towards new and expecting parents. And all of those shows go on the New Mommy Media Network app. Again, it's a free app. It's available wherever you download apps. So we've got lots of different versions and stuff out there. But if you want a one-stop shop for all of the shows that we do and all of our kind of affiliate shows we're bringing on, that is a great place for you to get all content in one spot. So I encourage you guys to check that out. And the other thing that you can do, so if you're listening to us through iTunes or if you've downloaded one of the apps through iTunes or something like that, we love to get reviews in iTunes. This is probably the best way that you can help us out is by leaving a review, because still most of the people that find out about our shows are listening through iTunes or some sort of other podcast kind of device, right? Because we're available on a bunch of different platforms. But wherever you're listening to us, if you have the option to rate and review us, please do. With most of these, in fact, probably all of them, that is how people find out about your shows, right? So a lot of times you see that, hey, if you listen to this, you might like this. And the way that they kind of organize all that is pretty much by ratings and reviews. So tell us what you think about the show. Hopefully it's good. If not, let me know how we can improve it. And I'm all ears with that as well. But that will definitely help us out and let more parents find out about Parent Savers as well as our other shows.
Nice. All right. Thanks in advance for doing that. I'm the worst at that. I never really
read
reviews, but then you end up looking at them, right?
Yeah, everyone you looks totally at them. Do. You know, it's the same thing, actually, sidebar with Amazon. Like, everybody's on Amazon and no one ever leaves reviews. So it's right. A good thing to do because, I mean, that's really how, you know, other people know what products to buy, whatever. So do your part. Leave a review. Yep. There you go.
And so joining us today in the conversation, we have Angie. Angie, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and about your kid's situation so everyone kind of has a good perspective on who we're talking to.
Yeah. So like you said, my name's Angie. I had a baby a little over a year ago. She's 14 months now. And when she was 2 months, we decided to move from D.C. all the way over to Los Angeles. And the only way to get over there was to drive. So we packed up the car. We got the baby, two cats, a lizard, and us in a small little sedan and check over
nice.
Here.
All right, well,
I love that you had a lizard.
Sorry, it got to ride on the outside. We'll hear all about that as we kind of dig into the topic. So thank you for joining us. I'm, as the host, Johnner, as you know, you're probably sick of me hearing, but I have three boys, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and an almost 5-year-old. And we've taken our fair share of road trips. So in addition, I think, to looking at it from the very young baby perspective, we've done some cool things that my wife has sort of initiated that will hopefully be helpful as your kids get a little bit older. We've done some road trips with some big ones, even when Zyler was as young as like 2 years old. So definitely have some cool ideas.
And I'm the student in today's conversation because I'm going to learn from you guys, really. I mean, I'm kind of in hunker down mode, just stay in your home mode, contain everybody, and try not to let anyone escape. So I'm Sunny. I have 4 kids. My oldest is 5. And we do have to let him out of the house because there's this little thing called kindergarten he has to go to. And then I have a 4-year-old son who goes to preschool. And I have twin girls who are 2.5. And they just started preschool, although I'm not sure they're going to stay in preschool. But for the time being, everybody's kind of out of the house for part of the day. And that's what I call my road trip. That is me making the stops.
The road trip is going to get coffee.
It's like Starbucks on my way. But yeah, so we haven't done anything really. We've taken all the kids to Vegas. So what is that? That's a 4.5-hour trip. But nothing, you know, I'm really impressed. You guys are like going cross country and stuff. And that just scares the bejeebus out of me. So I
hopefully
am going
after
to
today
learn.
You're empowered, and our listeners are a little empowered too, maybe if they're in the same position.
To be able to do it. Right. So yeah. I'm going to have lots of questions, basically.
Awesome. Before we jump into today's topic, we're going to look at another app today. And this was one that I actually am pretty excited to talk to you guys about. I discovered it about a month ago. And this is a paid app. It's $2.99. And you know, if we're bringing along paid apps, that I really believe in it. And it's, and I think this is totally worth the $3. So this app is called Chomp, capital letter Chomp, by Christoph Niemann. And that's the total app title, has his name in it. We'll have a link on the website. It's Niemann is his last name. Chomp by Christoph Niemann. And so with this app, it uses the camera on your iPhone and it places the image from the camera into a funny little, pretty simplistic cartoon line drawing. And it's something that my 4-year-old figured out just like that and totally captivated him for like an hour. He just loved playing with it. And so as an example, as I'm looking at it right now, my face, you got to line up the camera a little bit. It takes a little bit of coordination. So it's probably for like 3 and up, but 2-year-olds could probably do it too, but my 4-year-old had no problem. So I'm a monkey's face, and if I push the button, I'm a monkey and I'm doing chin-ups. And then it keeps your face as the animation moves in the same spot. You can have a chicken laying an egg. I'm a ping pong ball right now, bouncing up and down, and my face is spinning around, and I can make funny faces as it goes. And you can record little videos or take screenshots. There's probably, I think, at least 40 different animations, and each one is interactive. So if you touch it once the screen goes, it starts doing things. It's colorful, simple drawings that, to me, this is the kind of app that I really like to recommend to people and that we love checking out as a family, where it's not just pushing buttons to just it's saying it's educational because there's ABCs involved. There's actually like some interaction with the real world that's happening here when you're putting your face in it. And so it's a really cute app. Have you had a chance to look at it a little bit, Sunny?
Yeah. So I went on, I haven't had a chance to download it yet, so I can't really talk about the functionality over all of it, but it looked really cute. It reminded me something of, you know, that my kids and I, and really my husband likes to do this with my kids, the jib jab kind of videos that you do. That's what it reminds me of. But I think these are just still images, right? There's no video that's tied to
them? No. What it is like if you hit the screen while it goes, it'll do a simple. It won't be like as elaborate as like doing the Macarena or something like that.
Okay.
But it will be like, oh, I'm in a lion's face. So if I push it, it might do something a little bit funny with its paws or do a little spin on the table. Or if the ping pong ball is going up and down and it's rotating and your face is rotating with it. So
like
there is some animation.
Yeah. Simple
animation.
It's like
a simple jib jab.
Yes. And I love that because honestly, I'm not going to pay all the money for Jib Jab. I've contemplated it, but I think it's like $15 a month or something. And then it's unlimited. Anyway, this is not a promotion for Jib Jab. but I would definitely make, this is $3. Like, and like you said, you know, if my child can take the pictures himself and it's all right there, you know, and it's just, we have like an iPad that they can play with. It's really, we call it the family computer. So is this available on iPad too? Do you know?
Yeah, it's perfect for iPad. Yeah, okay. And that's great because part of the fun is, I think, seeing these silly pictures, looking over the shoulder or recording videos, and then sharing it with your brothers and sisters.
Exactly. I like it. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, so definitely check this one out. But it's Chomp by Christoph Niemann. That's the whole title. You need to put that in. And then check it out. $2.99 on the App Store.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today on Parent Savers, we're talking about how to survive road trips with your kids. Welcome, everybody, to the conversation.
Yay! Road trip!
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. I love road trips.
Griswold family style.
Yes, totally. We're the Griswolds. And so, no, road trips are something I remember growing up, and it's something that we've been able to do with our boys as well. But I think it can mean different things to different people. And Sunny, I think you were even kind of touching on that, that like you were saying that your trip to Vegas that was 4.5 hours, you didn't think was a road trip. I totally think that's a road
you
trip.
You do? Really?
Yeah, what are you thinking about when we say road trips?
I don't know, like something that would take them the better part of a day.
God, I think that there's a scale. I think that you need to do some preparations for even something like a 2-hour drive,
yeah,
or a 4-hour drive. And then there also is for sure definitely larger scale coordination and planning that needs to go into the larger trip. But I wouldn't sell yourself short. It sounds like you guys have done a small road trip to me.
Well, we shall see throughout the course of the conversation.
Did they ask you to go pee during it?
No. And you know what? We usually time it out where we go in the middle of the night because we don't want to have to deal with pee breaks and stuff. So that's why I feel like it wasn't, not necessarily because of the distance, but because maybe we were just really smart in the way we timed it out. I don't know.
Yeah. See, I think that's sort of a tip.
Yeah.
That you didn't even know, but you did an expert road trip tip.
I did. Right?
But no, let's – and Angie's joining us too. And Angie, so you just recently moved across country, right?
Yes. It was challenging.
Right. And so was the car loaded with stuff too, or was it really just all about moving you guys?
Well, so we tried to pack as much as we could into, I guess we got like one of those pods, you know, you reserve, but we filled that up. So then we had to fill our car up to the gills. It was exploding. So my husband had the most amount of space. He was in the driver's seat the entire time. And I was in the back, just kind of Indian style, with my legs all cramped up right next to the baby car seat. So. Right.
But even before you left, did you guys do some like extra car seat safety or precautions, or did like go and get it checked or anything like that?
No, I mean, we had it checked over at the hospital when we brought her home, so we knew it was right. But I guess you have the choice when you're putting the car seat in. You can either use the car seat or the base, or use the seatbelt. And so we just did both. We used the base and the seatbelt to make sure it was really secure.
Nice. No, and so I think that even when we're talking about road trips, that's the first thing with the young kids is really taking a look at your car seat situation. And we've got episodes on that topic, and there's a tons of stuff you can do there. But really just make sure that you're nice, safe, and secure. And it sounds like doing a double thing on the car seat was a really good idea. So that's like before you even take off, right?
Yeah, especially since you're going to be in the car for so long. We were really paranoid. We wanted to make sure she was extra safe.
Totally. But then I can totally picture you crammed in with a bunch of stuff in the back seat. Tell us about your experience, like taking across country, and like what are some things that you either did or that you sort of figured out along the way that you think other people might benefit from knowing?
Well, so, you know, we knew it was going to be a long trip. We had planned for 5 days and ended up taking 6. So we got a little adapter to go in the car so we could plug in. I had a breast pump so I could breast pump on the way. And that way, if she was hungry, I didn't have to take her out of the car. I could just give her a bottle.
Nice.
I wish I had known then what I know now. And now I have the ability to just kind of lean over and nurse her while we're both still buckled in. But right. I didn't have that talent yet.
Yeah, I feel like that's maybe a boob group episode, Sonny. But
actually have. We've done episodes on traveling with a breastfed baby, and I'm pretty sure that was mentioned. So absolutely. Yeah.
But you totally do learn, right? I mean, and and you get better, you guys kind of get better at it, and both the mom and the baby sort of figure it out how to make that work. But at 2 months, you weren't able to really do that.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was an option. You know, I didn't learn about that until she was 4 or 5. I'm like, man, this could have made a lot of car trips better had I known.
Right.
Yeah, so we had the breast pump and the adapter, the charger for it. We also had one of those liners, like a puppy pad, and we just put that all in the car seat because we knew the chances of her having an explosion were pretty high.
Yeah.
That's smart.
That is a good idea.
Protect the car seat.
So it's a puppy pad? I'm not even – where do you get a puppy pad? Just at a pet store?
Yeah.
So for that specific trip, we just went to Target and got the puppy pads. But since then, they actually sell ones that are – I guess they're called liners. And okay. They're water resistant. And I guess you put them on your changing table, and we did that. They're like paper.
Oh, like those things. Yeah, nice. That's a good idea to put – and probably brought a bunch of them.
Oh, a whole bunch. Yeah, we went through them so fast.
Nice.
And then I guess the last thing we did was – I used an app to find out where points of interest were. And as we were driving, I said, okay, here's the next point of interest. It's about an hour or 2 hour drive. We're going to stop there. And that way we could get out, stretch our legs, make sure my baby didn't get a flat head from sitting in the car seat too long. So that's kind of the three major things we did.
Nice. And those were like good times to maybe like time your stops where it was something that was sort of interesting as opposed to just like on the side of a random exit in Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we figured we were only going to make this drive once, so make it fun. We didn't want to just go to rest areas or anything.
Yeah. So. And I'm thinking about these puppy liners. I guess I don't have to call them puppy liners, but these pads. But there is a balance in a road trip between, you know what? We're going to places where there's civilization and they have stores, and like you could buy stuff along the way if you run out. But you also don't want to plan extra stops because you want to get to the right destinations. You don't want to spend your road trip at the grocery store shopping for things. So did you try to just get enough for the whole trip, or were you planning on like stocking up along the way?
Being the new parents that we were, we just had everything to go.
Right.
Now we're a little bit more relaxed. Like you said, we could just anything we need, we can stop on the way and get it. But at that point, I was like, okay, we need this many diapers. We need this many.
Yeah, and then you multiply it by two just to be safe.
Yes.
And then by the time you have four kids, you're like, oh, it doesn't matter. Whatever right. we do, they're going to need something else. There's Walmarts wherever we go.
Right. But I remember with traveling with the baby is that if the baby's in a good spot, you don't want to jinx that. You don't want to do anything to possibly stop it. And so
that's true.
You want to keep things moving and going in the right direction.
Literally. That would be bad if you weren't.
Yeah, totally. And so we found online on this site, canary.com, about some road trip trips with small children. So I kind of want to go through these real quick. The first one's bring plenty of snacks, but I think that qualifies as the breast pump for when you're traveling with a young baby or being able to give it access to breastfeeding. But I think as your kids get a little older and are on solid food, you also just want to make sure you have a good supply of that. Number two is allow plenty of time to reach your destination. It sounds like you were pretty flexible with your schedule if you were able to go from 5 days to 6 days.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's on a big road trip. I think especially with young kids, you need to be mindful that time frames need to be kind of loose. And if you need to either stop and see something cool you weren't expecting or just take a little extra time out of the car, that you've got a little bit of extra time. This also talks about toys. Like, did you, at 2 months, were you just kind of like putting your hand on or maybe talking to the baby? Like, what were you kind of doing to keep the baby entertained?
We had some rattles and some books. She slept a lot. So, like, the first 2 to 3 hours of our day, she just sleep. And we kind of wanted that because she's the kind of baby where if she wakes up and pees, she just, it's the end of the world. You know, you have to stop right then and there
right.
and change diapers. So, we wanted her to sleep as much as possible. But when she did wake up, I would try to read books to her, or we had a CD with kids' songs on it. And so we'd sing that at the top of our lungs to get her to stay happy.
Nice. And then so where were you guys like sleeping along the way? Would you just have hotels? Did you have reservations, or would you just kind of find a town and try to find a hotel room?
Around 5 or 6 o'clock each night, I would look and see what was on the way. It had to be pet friendly because of the cats. So we just kind of look to see, you know, we wanted a small town that we could experience what I called Americana. Mm-hmm. So it would be a nice little hotel and someplace nice to eat. But yeah, we stopped at hotels.
Nice. Here's another tip from this article, which I think is interesting. It's entertain the kids with a puppet.
It's so like so specific. Like
it really is specific, but I think it could make a lot of sense too. Like it's just a good way to play peekaboo or kind of do something with just a different, just your face, I guess.
Or if you had multiple puppets, like they could probably entertain themselves a little bit too, maybe, you know, if you had multiple kids that, you know, because I've got like a couple toddlers, yeah. Right? So they might be able to kind of have their own little show going on in the backseat.
Next time my kids have a temper tantrum, I think I want to just throw a puppet back there and be like, make something happen. Come on, kids.
Entertain me.
Yeah, entertain them. And then, yeah, a lot of it is about preventing leaks and spills too, whether it's through, you know, using maybe special diapers, the either overnight kind if you use the disposable, or just being able to pay attention like to how quickly the diaper gets full. But also the car seat protector is a huge thing for traveling with babies. And now I'm mad that we never did it.
And there's a lot of products out there now. I'm seeing more and more pop up things that even covers that you put on your car seat like regularly so it doesn't get dirty, you know, so not just for a road trip, but there's a lot of stuff out there like that. And I often wonder, I keep thinking I'm going to get my kids one of those like organizers that goes on the back of, you know, one of the, mm-hmm. the main seats, like the driver's seat or the passenger seat, and something, you know, to collect all their toys. And I saw one the other day where it kind of slopes down and it tucks underneath the actual car seat. So it's like creates a little canopy. And if like anything drops, it's supposed to drop on the canopy as opposed to on your floor. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of interesting. But I keep thinking I'm going to get some of these extra things for my kids to self-entertain. And I haven't done anything yet, but I'm thinking about it.
The other thing I can think of for traveling like on a long trip with the baby is just some way to shade, to offer shade, because depending on which way you're going, you might get a lot of sun coming in like directly from one side of the car. And so definitely a way to keep the baby shaded, but not, you don't want to cover up the baby too. So like a shade for the window is probably a really good thing. Did you guys have anything like that, or were you able to just kind of keep track of it? I guess you were driving straight west, so maybe it didn't matter.
I did bad in that area. I tried to avoid it. I was like, we don't need it because as soon as we get it, she's going to turn front facing. I know it's 2 years, but I felt like the 2 years was going to go by really fast. So I kept saying we don't need it, and I would just put like a blanket over her car seat.
Yeah.
And then just recently we caved in because it was getting really bad. So we just got the shades, and it makes a difference. I should have gotten it way back when.
Nice.
I have a tip on that one. So this was an issue for us. We recently got a new minivan, and we got like the basic bottom of the line because we got a really good deal on it. Anyway, it didn't come with any tinting. And all my cars previously, since having kids, had some sort of tinting on the back window. So I didn't realize like how important it really is to have tinting. Like I'm like blinding my kids even going to kindergarten every day. And so I got these, they're kind of staticky kind of things that stick to the windows. And I'm really glad I got the ones I did. And there's multiple brands out there that do this, but it literally, it's kind of a filmy thing and it goes right on there. And you kind of got to work out the bubbles and stuff. But those types work really well. If you ever talk to some sort of car seat technician or anything like that, they usually say they don't want anything big and bulky because if there is a car accident, things could dislodge and they could hurt your baby. But one other additional thing that I found with that is our new car, which I think is really cool, those windows actually can roll down. And I've never had – my first minivan didn't have that option. So anyways, and so these protectors were really nice because they'll roll all the way down and it won't like lodge or, you know, kind of get stuck. So if you're thinking about getting something like that, keep those couple things in mind. And like I said, there's lots to choose from out there, but it can definitely help you.
Couple more tips about babies, and then I think we'll get into toddlers. But these actually kind of apply, I think, to kids of all ages. But like baby wipes and paper towels in the car, those come in so handy for so many different situations.
Yes. We buy them in bulk. We buy baby wipes in bulk. And someone told us before we had kids, say, oh, you're going to end up doing this. And we're like, what? Why would you do that? We find uses for baby wipes in every situation. So yeah, we keep it stocked in our car. It's a staple. And we really stock up when we're traveling.
Yeah, we're like squirrels with it. Like, I'm going to put one behind this seat here, just see what's there, and I'm going to do it there. So then when you go looking for one, like, yep, there it is. Right.
Because
there.
When you need a wipe, you need a wipe, you know?
Yes, really. Urgently, usually. And then also just bringing like some resealable bags. It's good for if there are accidents or blowouts, or if you need somewhere to stash it before you can get to a place to wash things, put them in a zipped sealed bag. Also maybe just good if trash is generated or anything. Again, you can find lots of different uses, whether for babies or up, to have like a box of like the gallon size sandwich resealable bags.
Mm-hmm. We tried that at first, but it was a long trip And she had her first explosion the first day, and I wanted to put it in a Ziploc bag. And my husband was like, yeah, we're not going to drive with that for the next week in our car. So you might also want to be prepared to part ways with some clothes if it's going to be
open. That's right. So bring disposable clothes.
We had to throw it away.
That's a good
Which
point.
Isn't a bad idea. But I mean, you could also – if I mean, I feel like I could travel a day with that stuff. And then when we got to wherever we were staying for the night, could
– Rinse it out. Like if you have a blowout kind of thing. Is that what you guys are thinking?
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, totally.
But I can also understand the freedom and liberty of just saying sayonara to that stuff too.
Yeah, I think I cried a little bit, but I lost that battle.
Certainly not very green.
Yeah.
No.
All right. So as we transition, I think, into talking a little more about as kids get past the baby stage and are able to sort of interact more, maybe tell you what they want, or toddlers and preschoolers, we'll talk about that right after this break. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Parent Savers. Today we're talking about surviving road trips with kids.
Road trips.
I just wanted to say it again. I got to say it that cool way in the introduction. So we're trying it again. So as kids get older, you know, as they leave the baby stage, road trips kind of change a little bit. And you're not as worried about blowouts necessarily, but you're worried about, you know, keeping them entertained, keeping them engaged, making sure they don't have meltdowns, that sort of thing. And so we opened this up to some of our listeners about some of the tips that they had. So, Sunny, this was on Facebook, right, that we put out the call for some advice?
Yeah. And so, first of all, I just want to plug a little bit. So if you're thinking about, you know, being involved in Parent Savers and you're not sure if you actually want to be on the show, you should still join our Facebook group, because we do more and more of this where we're posting questions that we use in the show. So just because you're part of the group doesn't mean you have to be on the show. You can just submit comments, which is what a bunch of these parents did. So mm-hmm. definitely give them, you know, some props as we go along here. So yeah, we just said, what's your biggest, best idea or suggestion when doing road trips with young kids? And that's how we defined it, young kids. So let me read some of these. So Courtney says, electronics for the win. And I know we have done some episodes in the past about usage of electronics and where do you draw the line and stuff like that. But, you know, I asked my son before we started recording today, who's 5. I said, what do you like to do when we're in the car for longer periods of time? And he says, I like to play with my iPad.
Right.
And so I know this is kind of a touchy subject, and screen time in general is. But I think a lot of parents would actually say tablets or, you know, phone, smartphone, something like that.
It becomes a little bit of a balance for us. And so living in Southern California, we've decided to sort of take advantage of some of the cool trips that we can take from out here. So a couple of years ago, we drove to Northern Arizona, which was a 9 or 10 hour drive. And then each day we were driving a lot to go to attractions. And last year we went all the way up to Northern California, which is even longer than that, believe it or not, because this state is so huge. And then even this year, we took another road trip up to Yosemite. And so it's a balance with the electronics, especially as your kids get older. I think when you're talking about like maybe 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, electronics might be able to help just keep them occupied. And they might not necessarily need to be looking out the windows at all times. But as your kids get older, you certainly want to balance that with them also getting the experience of what you're going through and not just being so wrapped up in whatever device or DVD they're using. So we found like that strategic timing of it. I mean, and just in general, we bought these portable DVD players. It was like $100, and they're two that are linked together. So they strap on to like the back of the driver's seat and the passenger seat. And so it shows the same thing, but we only bust those out for road trips. But so when we take a road trip, our kids get super pumped up. They're like, I can't wait to spend hours in the car because we get to watch DVDs in the car. It's something that is a treat to them. But what we have figured out is that we need to at times be like, okay, at this time, we're not going to watch DVDs because we're driving through some pretty awesome scenery right now. And you guys need to see this.
Some other things, though, that parents reach out to us and said. So Nikki says, I go to the dollar store and I buy a bunch of small toys and I wrap each one individually in wrapping paper with a lot of tape. And she doesn't continue on, but I'm assuming she spreads those out throughout mm-hmm. the trip. And then they're like little presents, right? And like, oh, if we're good for the next hour, we get this little gift or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, it gives them something to look forward to, and I think something to – if you make them like small attainable goals, it gives kids definitely a reason to, you know, stay quiet, pay attention, just not melt down.
Yeah.
And I wonder if all the tape is so it takes them a while to get in there, so you have 30 minutes to open it.
It's like gorilla taped. All right. So Stacy says she brings a giant crate of library books, some with CDs, so they can listen to them in the car. She also says new toys, Magna Doodle. I'm not sure what Magna Doodle is. Snacks in the car so we can run around when they stopped. But I love the idea. And we've had a couple of people say some sort of like audio. So CD, yep. Someone mentioned audio books. And like I subscribe to Audible because I like to listen to books on tape as opposed to read them. And so, but they have kids books and stuff like that as well. And I know through our car, we can kind of, you know, set it up so everyone can hear it through the speaker. So even listening, I don't know if it has to be visual. I know a lot of people have DVDs and stuff like that in their cars. We don't have anything like that. We're not all that fancy, but just something like listening to a story might work. Again, you know, my kids really like ghost stories right now. So maybe if I put on some ghost stories, you know, especially if we're driving at night, that could be kind of cool, actually.
No, and combining that with the library idea too, books on tape from the library is something you just need a library card. You can check them out definitely for the length of your trip. And I mean, listening is great because you're using your imagination. The kids are maybe looking outside. And if you think about it, sometimes like you hear certain things and then it makes you think of like where you were when you heard it or certain spots. And so certain stories can just immediately kind of take you back to those spots on your road trip too. We listened to a Magic Treehouse book and the 4-year-old was totally into it. Zyler loved it. And we were driving through, I think, Napa and like wine country and stuff. And now even just thinking about that book makes us think about that part of the country.
Yeah. Whatever happened to I Spy? We're playing games. Why can't we go back? I mean, is there any other games besides I Spy that you guys played in the car to kind of pass the time?
It's a license plate game where you have to collect license plates from different states.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And you kind of mark it off your list.
Yep.
Have you guys ever been able to get very far, though? I'm like, oh, another California plate. Oh, another California plate.
I feel like I remember a road trip when I was a kid where we did pretty good.
Yeah.
And when you see the Alaska Hawaii ones, you get super excited.
That's true. That is kind of cool.
Yeah. But a couple things that we've done with young kids, and this is even for shorter car rides, is just one, the colors of the rainbow game. Mm-hmm. Let's find something that's orange. Let's find something that's green. It's usually pretty easy.
Yeah.
And blue. But you can look for different colors. You can also, if they're starting to be able to, as they get a little bit older, recognize the letters of the alphabet.
Yes.
And numbers is just be on the lookout for letters. And, hey, we're on A. Now we're on B. And that can really pass a lot of time because you'll get to a letter and then you need to start looking. And it really gets you looking at the billboards that maybe are around and just all the other signs.
Oh, and the advertisers will love you for that.
That's true.
It's true. No, actually, it was a suggestion from one of our listeners. Allison actually said that. She said the alphabet game with billboards, you could do that with animals. She said different types of food, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, just sort of come up with different things to be on the lookout for.
Okay, so one of our last submissions comes from Amber, and I really think it ties into what Angie was talking about earlier. She says, Google search for parks in the towns that you're going to be passing through. So you already have them picked out before you decide that you need to stop. And I know, you know, Angie, you were talking about just kind of finding places in general. Did you find any parks? Was that kind of part of the thing? Like, hey, let's find a playground and let the kids just kind of burn off some energy. Well, you have a baby, so probably not so much, right? Yeah. Not so much with the parks yet.
It's more like here's a fun place to eat, or here's a point of interest. Like at one point, I don't remember what state it was in, but it was a Popeye statue. So we went 10 minutes off the highway, and we got her out and took a picture of her in front of the Popeye statue.
Oh, that's cute. Nice. John, have you stopped at any parks or anything like that on road trips?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just anything to get the kids to be able to take a break, get out around, get out some energy. It could be a park. It could be just a nice area on the side of the road. You could be at a place where there might be able to take like a quick trail or something like that. We were driving down PCH, I think, one time and able to just get out, break it up, let them get out some of that energy that they have just from sitting in the cars. Because kids want to be out and moving and playing. And I know we're trying to survive the road trips, but you also need to give them that time to just sort of let go and let loose.
Right.
All right. Any other questions about road trips? What do you got?
Oh, are we going to talk about the how much longer are we there yet kind of questions? Oh,
yeah. So here's an idea. I'm going to take credit for this one because I don't think I read it anywhere. I think I came up with this one on my own. I've told a couple people about it. They like it. So what we did before we left on a road trip is I got a couple rolls of quarters and I think I gave each kid like $5 in quarters and said, all right, this is your money. So you can ask us how much longer will it be till we get there? Once every hour. But if you ask it any more than that in an hour, you have to give me a quarter. So if you're really, really dying to know an update, it's just going to cost you your money, a quarter. And so they then have a reason to not ask and to remember what you said 10 minutes ago so they don't have to ask again. Uh-huh. And it really worked for us. And it has made road trips bearable that they end up getting these quarters, which we then can use to make like smushed pennies or whatever. But then they're sort of in control and the onus is on them. Like, hey, you're free to ask it, but it's going to cost you a quarter.
Ah, and it also teaches them some money management, you know, in the process, I think.
Totally.
I like that.
And just
yeah.
Really, anything that's like mine. So just give them something and, you know, give them let them ask every hour or so. Like you get 1 hour. And so we'll say like, are you sure you want to ask? You can ask again at 1 o'clock and it's like 12:32 right now. Uh-huh. Okay, I'll just wait. You can tell me at 1 o'clock how much longer it'll be.
And it seems to work, which is the important thing, right?
Totally. Well, thanks so much for the conversation, everybody. And thanks to everyone that listened to us today. And I hope that you feel empowered to go take a road trip. And if you do, tell us about it. If you got some good tips, definitely let us know because that helps not only helps us, it'll help the other listeners. We'll be sure to pass it along. So for more information about road trips and some of the links we talked about with some of the other tips, you can visit our website at newmommymedia.com and check out the episode page. We're going to continue the conversation about road trips for members of our Parent Savers Club. For more information about how to be a part of that and what that even means, I'm not even going to tell you. You got to go to our website for that too. So check that out for Parent Savers Club info.
All right. So before we wrap up our conversation today, we are going to do a segment that I find very humorous. It's a fairly new segment here on Parent Savers called What Up With Dat?
So, what up with that?
So it's not that, it's dat. You know, we're very specific about this. And so it's where you guys basically tell us these crazy things that your toddlers do that you're just like, I don't get this. This isn't making sense to me and I don't know. And it seems to be a toddler thing. Like it's not just a kid thing. It's like a toddler thing usually. But this one, I guess the one from our listener today could be kind of viewed, I don't know, kids do this, I think, throughout childhood. And so it's from Diane. And Diane says, I don't know if the flexible napping skills are weird exactly, but they are definitely the most noteworthy. My father-in-law tells me that my oldest son reminds him a lot of my husband, who used to crash out in the oddest places as a child. So basically, she's talking here about kids just crashing out wherever and probably in the weirdest positions. It doesn't seem to bother them. In fact, the host for our show, Twin Talks, her name's Christine, if you guys haven't heard the show yet, she posts on Facebook. I find it absolutely hysterical. She always posts on Facebook these crazy places that her child falls asleep. I mean, she'd probably fall asleep in her food at the dinner table kind of thing if she could. But it looks so uncomfortable. But the kids, like, you know, I mean, I guess they don't need as much.
When you're tired, you're tired.
When you're tired, you're tired, right? I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter. John, or do you remember your kids passing out at weird spots?
This one just showed up in my Facebook memories feed. So we were at Legoland one time and we got churros for the kids. And I think they were probably like, we just had two at the time and four and two. I think it was before Zyler was born. And so they each got like half their churro or whatever. And so there's this, the older one is just licking his fingers because he's just eating a churro. The second one got halfway through and passed out. So he's just passed out holding the churro in his hand, just mid bite with just in churro bliss. I think it's a skill. I think Christina can fall asleep wherever still, and I think it carries on to adulthood. And I find it adorable, the places that she'll fall asleep or the things that we'll be watching a movie and an exciting thing will happen and she'll be falling asleep during it just because she's got some sort of cue to like go to sleep.
It's her bedtime. And her body just knows. You know, I have a very unique skill of being able to fall asleep super quickly. Like to the point that people would be like, oh, she's got to be kidding or just joking or whatever. Just like, no. I mean, seriously, it could be like a couple seconds after my head hits the pillow. And apparently my dad has the same thing going on. And so it's hereditary. Yeah, I would say, you know, it amazes me when my 3-year-old can, like, silly stuff, like on the hard tile, and he's completely fine without his blanket, without anything. He'll just be on the hard tile. I'm like, there's a couch over there. You know, why don't you just crash on the couch? But yeah, totally.
Yeah, like when they're on the floor with no pillow and just passed out, I'm like, what up with that?
What up with that? So if you guys have a funny story that you want to share with us, something crazy that that your kids did, let us know. You can go to our website at newmommymedia.com, send us an email, leave us a voicemail, and we'll talk about it on a future show.
That wraps up today's episode of Parent Savers. We appreciate you listening. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, The Boob Group for Moms Who Breastfeed, Twin Talks for Parents and Multiples, and Newbies for those going through it for the first time. Plus, there's even more shows on the New Mommy Media Network, so make sure to check them out if you're a concerned parent who listens to podcasts, which, if you're listening to this, you probably are. This is Parent Savers,
empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.